The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 9, text number 14, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari, recorded on May 21st, 2012, in Sveti Vlas, Bulgaria.
To invoke auspiciousness, please join us in chanting this mantra. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Satatam Kirtayantam Mam.
Satatam Kirtayantam Mam.
Yatantashchadridhavrita. Namasyantascha mam bhaktya.
Namasyantascha mam bhaktya.
Nitya yukta upasate.
Nitya yukta upasate.
Satatam kirtayantam mam.
Satatam kirtayantam mam.
Yatantascha dridhavrata. Namashantascha mam bhaktya.
Namashantascha mam bhaktya.
Nitya yukta upasate.
Nitya yukta upasate.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. Purport. The Mahatma cannot be manufactured by rubber stamping an ordinary man. His symptoms are described here. A Mahatma is always engaged in chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. He has no other business. He is always engaged in the glorification of the Lord. In other words, he is not an impersonalist. When the question of glorification is there, one has to glorify the Supreme Lord, praising His holy name, His eternal form, His transcendental qualities, and His uncommon pastimes. One has to glorify all these things. Therefore, a Mahatma is attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who is attached to the impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord, the Brahma Jyoti, is not described as Mahatma in the Bhagavad Gita. He is described in a different way in the next verse. The Mahatma is always engaged in different activities of devotional service, as described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing and chanting about Vishnu, not a demigod or human being. That is devotion. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu and Smaranam, remembering Him. Such a Mahatma has firm determination to achieve at the ultimate end the association of the Supreme Lord in any one of the five transcendental rasas. To achieve that success, he engages all activities, mental, bodily, and vocal, everything, in the service of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. That is called full Krishna consciousness. In devotional service, there are certain activities which are called determined, such as fasting on certain days, like the 11th day of the moon, Ekadashi, and on the appearance day of the Lord. All these rules and regulations are offered by the great acharyas for those who are actually interested in getting admission into the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the transcendental world. The Mahatma's great souls strictly observe all these rules and regulations, and therefore they are sure to achieve the desired result. As described in the second verse of this chapter, Not only is this devotional service easy, but it can be performed in a happy mood. One does not need to undergo any severe penance and austerity. He can live this life in devotional service, guided by an expert spiritual master. And in any position, either as a householder or a sannyasi or a brahmachari, in any position and anywhere in the world, he can perform this devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus become actually Mahatma, a great soul.
Mandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Bada Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunatanvita Sajiva Sadaitam Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamascha
So, I have some good news for you. God exists. The atheists are wrong. And God loves you. He is the most kind person. In fact, that is the very reason that love exists. Because God is very, very kind. Here in the Western countries, they have some vague idea about God. But in India, they have very clear, concrete knowledge about God. How do they get that knowledge about God? Because they read the Bhagavad Gita. So if you will carefully study this Bhagavad Gita, you will find everything you need to know about God. Where He lives, what His name is, how you can go there to and see Him, everything. It is all given in the Bhagavad Gita. So, this particular verse we are studying today tells us how to become very dear to God. When you become very dear to someone, what is the result? You become favored by them. They take very good care of you, you see. So in this world, we try to become dear to someone. I want to become dear to my boyfriend, my girlfriend, my husband, my wife, my parents, my kids, my brothers and sisters, my neighbors. If I have no one else, then I will try to become very dear to my dog, you see. I will pat him on the head very nicely, you see. And when I come home, he will wag his tail, he will lick my face, you see. And I feel very happy. Oh, I'm very dear to my dog. But if you can become dear to God, you see, of all the people or animals or whatever there may be, the very best person you can become dear to is God. Because He owns everything. He controls everything. He's unlimitedly knowledgeable. He knows everything. He has unlimited wealth. You see? If you have a friend who is a rich man, then that's very good. So why not become friends with God? He is the topmost of all rich men, you see. So to deny God as an atheist, that is a foolish thing. You can become dear to the richest man and be favored by him. Or you can say, oh, he doesn't exist, he's just a make-believe story, you see. So the atheists, they're very stupid people, actually. They don't realize if you become favored by God, then you have no problems. Everything is under God's control. The seasons of the year, the springtime flowers, the tides of the Black Sea. Everything is controlled by God. The rising and setting of the sun, the growing of the food, everything. So if you become favored by God, then you have no anxiety. So how do you become favored by God? That is the most important question we can ask. How can I become favored by God? How can I please Him? To where He likes me very, very much and gives me special mercy. This verse is answering that question. Tatatang kirtayanto mam. Krishna, who is that's the Sanskrit name for God. Krishna, our God, says, always chant my glories. The same principle is stated in the Bible also, in the book of Psalms. King David, he wrote many beautiful songs glorifying God, you see. He stated the same principle. You should be glorifying God from morning until evening. Always glorifying God. So Krishna is saying the same thing. Always. This is God Himself speaking now. He says you should constantly chant my glories 24 hours a day. You should bow down before me. This is by the temple, the church, the synagogue, the mosque. They're very important places. Because there you go to that place and you bow down to God, you see. But you can bow down to God anywhere. Because God is present everywhere. And you can chant His name anywhere. Just like this wonderful mantra, Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
You can chant it anywhere. You can chant it inside the house, outside the house. You can chant it in the daytime. You can chant it at the nighttime. When you're walking, you can chant. While you're driving, you can chant. You see. So if you would always chant this name, the names of God, then in your sleep you will also chant Hare Krishna mantra. So in this way you become very, very dear to God. And what will He give you? What is the ultimate benediction that you can achieve? Some money, a beautiful wife, maybe become famous or powerful. What is the greatest benediction that one can achieve? Do you know what is that greatest benediction? The greatest benediction is God becomes your personal property. When you fully give yourself to God, God will give Himself to you. That is the supreme opulence, the supreme wealth. So, how do I do that? That is the whole science of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, Ye yata mang prapadjante tangs the taiva bhajamyaham. Inasmuch as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. And that reward is Krishna gives Himself to you. To whatever extent you give yourself to Krishna, to that extent Krishna will give Himself to you. But Krishna, He's very kind. He multiplies times 10. If you give yourself 1% to Krishna, He will give Himself 10% to you. So even if you, so the point is, whatever you give to Krishna, you get 10 times more back. So the intelligent person then says, he thinks, how can I give more and more to Krishna? He's always thinking, how can I surrender more and more and more and more and more to Krishna? This is the perfection of life, you see, to surrender to God. To give yourself completely to God, that is the perfection of life. So where does one learn how to do that? You have to learn from a bona fide spiritual master. The bona fide spiritual master is that person who has fully surrendered to God. By fully surrendering to his spiritual master. By that full surrender to his spiritual master, he has become perfect in Krishna consciousness. And therefore he is qualified to teach you how to become perfect in Krishna consciousness. In other words, you cannot manufacture your own process of surrender to God. Because you do not surrender on your terms. You have to surrender on God's terms. On your terms, that is not surrender. That is called business deal. You surrender on God's terms, then you are surrendering. But my dear Lord, what do you want of me? You see? So one has to find out. What does God want me to do? The spiritual master knows the art of how to please God. So therefore the Vedic wisdom advises Tasmad Gurum Prapadyecha Jyagyashu Shreya Uttamam. If you want to achieve the ultimate benefit, then you must approach the bona fide spiritual master and take shelter of him by initiation. Yeah, and that verse then tells you, well, there are many people who claim to be gurus nowadays, so who's a bona fide guru, you see? I honestly have to tell you, there are more bogus gurus now than there are genuine gurus. Nowadays, everybody wants to be a guru. Nobody wants to be a student. So it's very difficult to find a genuine spiritual master nowadays. The bona fide spiritual master is the one who is fully surrendered as a student to his bona fide spiritual master. He does not concoct his own teachings. He simply repeats without any addition or subtraction what he has heard from his spiritual master. That's all. That's the qualification. It's not that you can earn a PhD degree and become a spiritual master. Or you can learn how to do some yoga asanas and become a spiritual master. Or you can learn how to light a fire and say some mantras and become a spiritual master. One becomes a spiritual master by fully surrendering to their spiritual master. That's the only way you can do it. Such a person is fully qualified to teach you how to become a pure devotee. Because he himself is a pure devotee. And then this verse further explains, Shabde Pareta Nishnatam Brahmane Upashamashriyam. Such bona fide spiritual masters have scrutinizingly studied the revealed scriptures and fully realized the conclusions of the revealed scriptures and are thus able to convince others of these conclusions. Such great personalities who have taken complete shelter of the Godhead, Krishna, leaving aside all material considerations, are the actual bona fide spiritual masters. So I was very fortunate to find such a teacher. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. I took his teachings very seriously. I was initiated by him 41 years ago. Before coming to him, I was a popular musician, singer-songwriter. I gave up the idea of becoming, I gave up a shot at becoming a superstar. And became a humble disciple of Srila Prabhupada. And then he ordered that I should become a spiritual master. And spread these teachings all over the world. Therefore I have come to your country to beg you to please take up this process. I cannot tolerate to see anybody suffering. And I see wherever I go, all over the world, everybody is suffering. So please give up your suffering condition. Become happy. Chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And fully surrender yourself to God. That is my humble request. So now I can ask if there's any questions.
How to develop compassion to other living entities, for other people?
How to develop compassion for others? The fact is that deep within our heart, we already have pure compassion for all living beings. Because deep within your heart you have pure love of God. This is confirmed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jivera Svarupahai Krishnera Nityadat. The constitutional position of the living being is that he is a pure devotee of Krishna. So you have pure compassion within you already then. At the present moment, due to material association, it's covered. Just like when the rain falls from the sky, it is pure distilled water. But when it contacts the atmosphere of the earth, it becomes muddy water. So your original pure state is one of pure compassion. But due to the contact with this material nature that has been covered with lust, with anger, with greed, with madness, illusion and envy, so how to get free from that contamination? This process described here by Krishna. To always chant his glories, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. If you will keep chanting every day, then gradually, all this dirt will be washed away. And your original state of pure compassion will become fully manifest. Any other questions?
How to become perfect representatives of Guru and Krishna?
How to become a perfect representative of Guru and Krishna? Don't concoct anything. Whatever you have heard, you repeat. Spiritual master says that Krishna is God, so you say Krishna is God. Spiritual master teaches you that you're the eternal servant of Krishna, and then you repeat, I am the eternal servant of Krishna. Just like if you're working for the DHL company, to be a first class employee, you have to deliver the parcels exactly as they are given to you. The delivery person does not have the liberty to add or subtract anything from the parcels. Simply you must deliver them exactly as they've been given to you for delivering. So you carefully read Prabhupada's books. You hear our lectures. In this way, you become very learned in these teachings. And repeat them exactly as you have learned them. Although a small child may not be a great mathematician, but his father may tell him, my dear boy, E equals MC squared. And little boy can say E equals MC squared. You see? So in this way, you simply repeat what you have heard without any change. And whatever instructions you are given, you strictly follow them. In this way, you become first-class servant of Guru and Krishna. Next question.
When you are hearing and serving, and
when
you are hearing and you are serving,
yeah,
at what point the doubts go away and the faith is established as firm?
When you're hearing and serving, at what point do the doubts go away and you become firmly established? Actually, the doubts, as soon as you engage yourself in hearing and serving, the doubts immediately start to go away. But you have so many of them, it takes quite a while to clean the house. So the more you absorb yourself in hearing and chanting, the faster they go away. The answer is they start to go away immediately. Somebody just said, keep hearing, serving, and finally that day will come when all those ghosts of doubt have that have been haunting you for millions of lifetimes, they're all gone. This is why it is stated in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad 6:23. Yashadeve parabhaktir tata Yashadeve parabhaktir tata deve tata goro Tasyaite katita hirata prakashante mahatmanaha. Only unto those great souls who have unflinching faith in the words of Guru and Krishna are all the imports of Vedic knowledge revealed. So you have to come to that point. Completely free from them. So how to accelerate the doubt cleansing process?
celebrate?
How to accelerate it, the doubt cleansing process. You inquire. Whatever doubt is there, you inquire, and that by that inquiry, the doubt will be removed. This is called pariprashna. To make submissive inquiries. Any other question? Yes.
We know that in material world our desires develop on the basis of our association. So the desire to come to this material world, was this also developed by association, by bad association?
Yeah, associating with your rascal mind. It is described in the Prema Vivarta, Krishna Bahirmukha, which means turning your face away from Krishna. That's why you're here. So now you have to turn your face back to Krishna. And by that process of turning your face back to Krishna, by chanting, by hearing, by taking darshan, by serving, then you become restored to your original pure state of pure prema bhakti. Where you derive unlimited bliss at every minute from Krishna's service. Any other questions?
Yeah. Съдържи оскърбителни сълза, си бактите, независимо от това как се държим с него. За колкото и добре да задържим някакви добри зле, се държим с него, той задържи по един и същи начин. Не съм прави.
If there is a person who is offensive to us and we or to the devotees and we try to deal with him, to treat him kind and many other ways, but what we should do with such a person who persists in being offensive?
The best thing is to avoid their association. If a dog is barking, what will you do? You go up and pat him on the head? No, the dog is barking, you just get away from him. There's nothing you can do with a barking dog. It's very difficult to pacify a barking dog. Sometimes you can, maybe you give him a bone, maybe he'll become pacified. So try giving them some prasadam and see if that works. Some very nice prasadam, you see. So that doesn't work, what you can do. Actually, Prabhupada says that one should avoid the association of devotees in the mode of ignorance. We respect them that all, at least they're chanting Hare Krishna. But we don't mix intimately with them. Offensive devotees, we don't mix with intimately. There are some people who have taken to Krishna consciousness. But they're crazy, offensive type people. So we're happy that they're chanting, but we don't mix intimately with them. Because whoever you associate with, that's what you become like. We want to find the advanced devotees, the pure devotees, you see. We want to associate with the pure devotees, and that elevates our consciousness. And to those who are innocent, we're kind to them to help them come to a higher level. But those who are offensive, we should avoid them. He would just disturb our Krishna consciousness. Any other questions? Yes.
So doesn't it depend on our perception? Somebody is rude or somebody is cruel? In a neophyte stage, even if some senior devotee give us good advice, we may feel bad about it.
So we have to be careful, though. We may think this person is being cruel to me, they're offensive. But actually they're an advanced devotee and they're giving us very good chastisement that we deserve. So one has to be very careful. Some advanced devotee may correct me for doing the wrong thing. And I may think, oh, this devotee is offensive.
You see?
No, you have to be very careful, you see. You have to learn who is actually an advanced devotee and who is none. That's very important. Because sometimes the advanced devotee corrects us and we become disturbed, that our false ego gets agitated that we were corrected, you see. And we think, oh, you know, that devotee is in Maya, you see. In the beginning, devotees didn't even understand Prabhupada, you see, oftentimes. When Prabhupada got angry, they could not understand that this was Prabhupada's mercy to become angry. They thought he was losing his temper, you see. One time they went to the famous university in Boston called MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology. The big science university, leading scientific university in the world, actually, MIT. So Prabhupada was having, they had one meeting and Prabhupada was having a debate with a Mayavadi. This Mayavadi said, it's all one. And Prabhupada was getting really agitated. Prabhupada finally grabbed his shirt. He said, it's all one, why don't you wear a cotton ball? If it's all one, why don't you... Prabhupada grabbed him by the shirt and said, if it's all one, why don't you wear a cotton ball? Cotton ball? That fluff of cotton? You know what a cotton ball is?
The one we make the gimmicks.
Make the ghee wicks out of it? So the devotee said, oh, Swamiji is losing his temper. We better get him out of here. Let's call a cab and get him out of here. They thought Prabhupada was losing his cool, you see. And Prabhupada was not losing his cool. The devotees lost their cool. Prabhupada was complete control. He knew exactly what he was doing. He was trying to teach this person a lesson and pull him out of his Mayavadi nonsense. So an advanced devotee is never overwhelmed by anger. An advanced devotee is never offensive. Truly advanced devotee is never offensive. But sometimes they are like Indra throwing a thunderbolt. The advanced devotee, the guru, the advanced Vaishnavas, sometimes they're very soft like a rose. And sometimes they're very heavy, like a thunderbolt, you see. So you have to learn to appreciate the soft rose of the advanced devotees and the thunderbolt of the advanced devotees. It's not when the advanced devotee zaps you with a thunderbolt. You think, oh, he's offensive. You should think, oh, wow, I've really gotten special mercy today. I was heavily chastised by the senior Vaishnava. How unfortunate I am today. What great pious activities I've done to receive this chastisement. From advanced Vaishnava, you see, how fortunate I am.
Just like, for example, you were trying to make Sri Gaurahari to chant, and he started crying. So someone might think that you were very cruel, you were making him chant.
I'm abusing a little child.
And someone might think, oh, he's helping him.
Yeah.
So it depends on one's perception that you are cruel or you are good.
Yeah, for those, I was little Gaurahari, he was not chanting, he was sitting there like this. And I kept encouraging him, chant, come on, chant, clap your hands. And someone think, oh, here you are harassing a little child, you know, what kind of mean, nasty demon are you? But actually, I know Gaurahari. He's my friend for many years. We're friends. I know him very well. And I'm just trying to help him come out of his shell, you see, and become an effulgent Vaishnava, Paramahamsa. Any other questions?
Понеже Кришна идва в материалния свят с своите придружители и материалните вселени са толкова много, Кришна може да се експандира в духовния свят, но какво става с придружителите му? Те лишават ли са личности, които са в духовния свят, тяхното общуване?
Since Krishna comes to the material world in the innumerable universes with his devotees, and we know that Krishna can expand himself in many ways and still be in the spiritual world, but what about his devotees? Are they also expand? Or?
Devotees can also expand. Sometimes they expand also. Any other questions? Yes, Gaurahari.
How many rounds should I complete them today?
16. Because then I can initiate you. I can initiate you. Chant 16, I can initiate you. So right, you do as many as you can now. How many can you do now? 4? Can you do 4? How many?
He does 2.
2, very good. Now, can you double it and go to 4? That's my question.
Yes.
Very good. The next year, he can double it to 8, and then after that, he can double it to 16. And then he become initiated disciple. Jai Gaurahari. Very good. So any other questions? Yeah.
If we can explain what are these rounds, because some people do not know what are these rounds.
Round in Sanskrit is called mala. These are called japa beads. You hold it up. Okay. Every day we chant around these beads. And each bead we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari. And we go to the next bead. So there's one marker bead here, and there's 108 beads on there for chanting. So one round means that you chant 108 times the Hare Krishna mantra. So Gaura Hari, now he goes twice around the beads every day, 216 mantras. And now he will go four times, which is 432 mantras. He will chant. That's very good for a little boy. He will chant Hare Krishna mantra 432 times every day. And if you would like to begin this wonderful process of japa mantra meditation, devotees will, you can talk to the devotees and they will give you some beads, and you can also do. If you meditate every day in the japa mala meditation, every day you'll have a wonderful, wonderful day. There's a saying, japa in the morning and bliss the whole day. So any other question?
How to become greedy for Krishna Bhakti?
How to become greedy for Krishna consciousness? Just like somebody becomes, why does somebody become greedy for money? Because you need money to get things. For a place to live, you have to give the landlord money. You go to the grocery store, you want to get some food, you have to give them money. You want to go from one place to another, you have to put gas. Or you have to pay for a bus or a train, or an airplane, you have to have money. So we want money so we can do things that we need to do. So just as we have that greed for money so we can do things that we need to do, you should understand there is only one way to achieve the perfectional stage of consciousness, Krishna consciousness. The only way you can do it is to become greedy. You must be greedy for Krishna. That's the only price, greed. Greedy for bhakti. So that's the only way you can get Krishna. You have to become greedy for Him. So you have to decide, do I want Krishna or not? And if you decide I want Krishna, then you have to become greedy to get Krishna. So do you want Krishna? You want Him a little bit? You want Krishna? You very much want Krishna. Is it a casual desire or is it a serious desire? Casual desire or a serious desire?
Serious?
That is greed. That is greed for Krishna. You seriously desire Krishna. Just like somebody is seriously in love with somebody else and they become greedy for that person's association. So in this way, you have to become very serious about achieving Krishna consciousness. And that way you will have the greed, necessary greed. Any other question? I think we can stop here now. Oh, one. This is the last question then.
Част от резултата да го предложиш на мен, който ще доведе до съвършенство.
Възможно ли е нали, това да се получи в тая епоха, нали, човек не следва изцяло правилата на Бхакти йога и не възпява постоянно на святото име? Една част той да прилага резултата от работата си, а друга...
Да постигне съвършенство. Because here in this verse it is said that one should chant constantly, but we also know that in the 12th chapter Krishna says that if we cannot do full bhakti yoga, then we can do some work and offer the results to him. So his question is, if we are not able to be always absorbed in Krishna consciousness but do some work and offer the results to Krishna, is it possible to achieve perfection in this way?
Actually, if you're working for Krishna, that is also a form of chanting. Prabhupada explains that. He says, kirtan is kirtan, chanting, he said even taking prasadam is kirtan. So if you're engaging your tendency for work and you're offering that work to Krishna, that is also kirtan. Krishna says, yat karoshi yadasnasi yadjahosi dadasi yat. Whatever you do, do it for me. So if you're working and offering the fruit of your work to Krishna, then that is also kirtan. For a devotee who is purely absorbed in Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada said everything is kirtan except for sleeping. So we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Lajja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.